Excited to be in the house of God? Yeah? A little bit more excitement than that. It's Sunday, guys. Yeah! Oh, 2020, what a year, yes? 33 more days left and then the end of the year. How will you remember 2020? This is the third time that I'm preaching this year. And let's just say all great movies come in trilogies. Yeah? You got the Bourne trilogy, you've got Star Wars, not that I'm a Star Wars fan, you've got The Matrix. And it's so interesting because the very first sermon that I preached, God was really speaking to me about the inside and the outside. Do you remember? It was about Ephesians 2, verse 16 to I think it was 18. And it was talking about Jesus Christ reconciling, coming to bring peace to those near and to those far. And it was about dissolving the divide, where we, the church, was called to be out in this world, loving and serving and being invited. Then the second sermon, God was really speaking to me about the Great Commission. Since the very beginning, God had asked us to go and scatter into the earth, to fill the earth, to multiply, because we carry the image of God in us, every single one of us. And today's sermon that I have for you is called Shaped for Purpose. And like trilogies, sometimes the prequel actually sets the tone for everything, but it's how it comes out in the movie-making business, right? And I guess if I had to put a one-liner to it, this is the million-dollar question which has plagued so many people. And the question is, why am I here? Has anyone ever asked that question? Yeah? Every major decision, it's like, why? Why am I here? 2020, people are asking, why? Why is the world the way that it is? And I wanted to share with you a little bit about what God has been saying to me in this season. But I wanted to just start by saying, you know, just now we were singing some of the praise songs, and all those songs were about glorifying God, about being the way maker, the promise maker. God is such a good God. He's never failed us. He's always working. And I think sometimes human beings, we are really quick to put it into boxes because we want to comprehend. But how can we comprehend a divine God that is bigger than anything that we can comprehend, correct? See, God's masterpiece transcends all time. God's creation. And we are all pieces in that puzzle. We are all made in the image of God, are we not? We are all bearers of the light. Westminster Catchment of Faith, about 400 years ago, there was a Church of England ministers came together and it was like a council. Any accountants? Do we have any accountants in the house today? Come on, a little bit. See, accountants are quite shy, right? So, and I say accountants because accounting, you'll know that there's this thing called SOC standards, right? International standards to which you would do your accounting practice. Yeah? And it is the fundamentals of accounting. So the Westminster Catchment of Faith, I kind of do it like the accounting standard, but the biblical standard of what our faith is based on. Yes? So 400 years ago, these Church of England ministers came and they documented and they poured into it. And the first part that they came up with was this question, but it is, what is man's chief end? And thanks for the answer. So quicker. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Let's just pause for a minute. Our purpose on earth is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Because again, the time that we are here on earth is only a season, but we are made to be with him forever, right? We believe in the new Jerusalem, the new heaven, the new earth. So we are created by the Creator. We are a reflection of God himself. We bear the image of Christ. In fact, every single person, no matter who you connect with, you ask them enough questions, you will see the image of Christ in them. You know, that they might have done unspeakable things, they might have hurt us, they might have done whatever, but if you spend enough time with them, talking to them, asking them enough questions, you will see that somewhere in their story, there is the image of Christ. Why? Because that is how we are made by the Creator. And I get completely overwhelmed with nature, and I see the beauty of nature. You think about it, how many species there are of trees, plants, animals. So beautiful. All intricately designed, each and every single piece, beautifully, enough to wow the senses. You've got colours of every single colour of the rainbow. You've got scents, the smell of a rose, the smell of the rain. Creation is such a beautiful thing. And if God created human beings to be the image bearers of Him, how much more would He have put into us as human beings? Can you imagine? You look at a rose. My mum used to love roses. I remember our old house. What were they? Camp David was one of them. What was the other one? There was a couple. There was something, peace. Yes, you're nodding your head. I say, I listened every time you took me to Waldex. You see, if God could do so much beauty in a rose, a single bush, how much more beauty has He put inside of you? How much more purpose has He got for you? Because that rose will come, it will bloom, it will be beautiful. It will bring forth life because it will feed the birds and the bees that come into that, take the nectar out and then reproduce it again. See, God had such a purpose for that singular rose. How much more does He have for you? So we're created by the Creator, a reflector of God Himself, created through Him, for Him. And I want you to turn your Bibles to Colossians 1, verse 16 to 17. And it says this: "For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers, rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and Him all things hold together." Hold that thought. Just now we were singing the Waymaker. Waymaker, not Rainmaker. Slightly different things, huh? Waymaker. And Pastor was just sharing about in those moments of hurt when you're crying out, desperate, crying out to God. Know this, that you were made by Him, for Him, and He is holding all things, which means He is holding you. In your moment of pain, He is holding you. Oh, isn't that good? Now, I've had a hard week this week. It was a really hard week. But in it, I have known that God is holding me. Okay, so that's the first verse. The second one is Ephesians 1, verse 11. And it says this: "In order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of His glory," which is Ephesians 1, verse 12, which means that we were created through Him, for Him, by Him, holding in Him, and to what? To praise and glorify Him. You see, that's man's chief purpose, is to glorify God. You know, in the New Living Translation, it says this: "God's purpose was that we, the Jews, who were first to trust in Christ, would bring praise and glory to God." And then I think about this: we, the first, the Jews. You remember the first sermon that I preached, the inside and the outside is all God's? And then what if, and then I started thinking about what it first means to be the early adopters. Now, Apple, who's got an Apple phone? And everyone raises their hand. Who's got an Apple 12 phone? What? Oh, whoa, Lena's got an Apple 12 phone. So I'm imagining, because they have only been out for a couple of weeks, correct? Were you the person that was standing outside the Apple store at Hay Street waiting? Because there were people camping outside, right? These are the early adopters to technology. They're the early adopters to the new thing that's coming. What if we as Christians were the early adopters? What if we as Christians were the ones that were mad fanatics about technology, but mad fanatics about Jesus, waiting in line? Because the reality is, how many have got an iPhone 11? 10? 10. 9? 8? Has anyone got a phone in here? Samsung? 6, 7. You see, we all have phones. Samsung is obviously Korean, must be. But the thing is, we are the early adopters. And soon that technology infiltrates everyone. Okay, who doesn't have a phone here? Whoa! But we all walk around with phones. I've lost my plot now. What if we, early adopters to knowing Christ, could therefore be the change makers? Because what happens is those that are mad fanatics about their iPhones, they get the first one. And in fact, Apple does this. They send it out to all the influencers, correct? All the people with thousands and thousands of followers, they send it out to them and then they'll start taking pictures and they'll start writing up their reviews and then soon people will start to buy them, correct? That's the Apple's marketing strategy. It's the strategy with all companies nowadays in terms of getting their product out there. But what if we, as Christians, were early adopters to Jesus? And then what if we took our faith and we lived it in our everyday lives, that people who would connect with us, they would see and they would smell the aroma of Jesus in us? What would that look like? We would be the change makers. We would go out into all of society and we would be able to shine the salt and light in this world. That people who were hurting, who were tired, who were weary, they would see the hope of Jesus in you. Just by what you were saying, just by how you were living your life, what would that look like? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for every single person that's here today. I want to thank you that you have made us to be your image bearers, that you have imprinted your DNA into us, Lord God. And in the places and the spaces that you have placed us, that we will shine the light of Jesus. Heavenly Father, I ask you to anoint this time that we have together. Holy Spirit, fill my mouth with the words and speak straight into the hearts, that we will be change makers. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ah, so, Samsung holders, Apple holders, you ready to get into the scripture? So the scripture that I have for us today is based on Ephesians 2 verse 10, and it says this: "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared us in advance to do." And then as I started preparing for today's sermon, I was asking God, okay, well, which of the many, many heroes of faith do we look at to unpack this scripture? And there are so many. You know, in Hebrews it says about Moses being no ordinary child, and I think that means all of us, because no one is an ordinary child. We are all different. Every single human being that has walked the face of this earth has a different fingerprint, correct? That's how the police will catch you if you've done something wrong. We are all marked differently. And so as I was praying, as I was reflecting, the book of Daniel came. And I thought, wow, what a story. What a story about a man who has literally transformed nations. Daniel is a story of a young boy. So for all the teenagers that are here, and how God has used him, how his heart was turned towards God through his whole life, and how he was able to change the temperature in the rooms that he was in. You see, Daniel showed us how to live for the glory of God. He honored God with everything, with prayer, with his posture. And we're going to delve deep into the story of Daniel today while we're unpacking Ephesians 2 verse 10. So you ready? The first part talks about the handiwork. So you think of this, right? If God has created each flower so beautifully, each bird and creature in creation so beautifully, how much more did he put in you? What did he put in Pastor Stewart? Just because you're the first person I'm looking at. What is the gifting that he has given you? What is the gifting that God has put on your life? You see, it says in Daniel, early in chapter 1, that the king had asked to look for young men without physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. And he was to teach him the language and literature of the Babylonians. So what do we know about Daniel? He was good looking. Woo! Amen! And all the sisters said, amen. He was good looking, without any physical defect. He had an aptitude for every kind of learning. You know those people who are quick to learn everything? They just read the book once and then they get it. I, on the other hand, had to slowly read over and over, highlight, go read, go reference. Daniel had an aptitude for learning. He was smart. He was intelligent. This was before Google, guys. How to learn before Google. Daniel had understanding. He was well-informed. He was knowledgeable. You see, this was the DNA that God had put inside Daniel. This was how God had shaped Daniel. That was the handiwork of God in Daniel. And I ask you today, this morning, what is the handiwork of God in you? How did he shape you? You see, a lot of it comes from the very beginning. It says in Psalms 139, before you even took a breath, God had all the days of your life planned out before you. Believe it or not. In your mother's womb, he knitted you. He has put these in you, your handiwork. Guys, get excited about this. The glory of God is on you, in you. He was so careful in designing you and putting these things in you before you even took a breath. You know, I have a little 8-year-old girl. And those who remember Ethan, my nephew, I was going to say my cousin, clearly not, my nephew. And I was watching them in the playground. Do you remember when we were in Hong Kong airport? Mina would have been maybe about 5 at the time. And we're in Hong Kong airport. It was for my mum's birthday. We had all taken this massive, beautiful family holiday. And there was the kids holding pen. It was a long day. You can imagine trying to lug suitcases up and down the tram. And it was just nightmare. And we get to the airport. And there's a little playpen for kids. And within an instant, the kids were out. What did Mina do? She went first to where there was a problem. There were kids arguing, fighting over some toy. And Mina comes in and she's like, whoa, 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 whoa. And suddenly all the kids are listening. I don't even know how she speaks because she can't speak Chinese. And then so people are listening to her because she had seen a way and that was just her natural instinct. You see, Ethan, who would have been about, what, maybe 4, 3? His natural instinct, he is hardwired. He has the biggest heart. He's so empathetic. So what does he do? He comes first to the kid who's crying, patting the kid, put an arm around the kid, are you okay? Again, can't speak Chinese. Well, now he can speak Chinese, but then he couldn't. But that was his hardwired, his DNA. And as a child, you have that DNA. You know, my grandmother had how many children? 7? She said that you can tell what a child is like by the time they're 4 years old. It's so true, right? You can start to see their personalities coming out at the age of 4. All the mothers are like, But it's true. And that is how God has made you. God has made you like that. You are the handiwork of God. He has hardwired you like that. That is such a beautiful thing. God had hardwired Daniel to be like that. And all through the book of Daniel, it talks about his intelligence. It talks about his quickness to learn, to absorb. He goes on this amazing journey to start changing the temperature of that city, of that nation, by being who he is. So back to this question of why am I here? The question lies to how has God made you? Because you are created by the Creator. Created by the Creator, and you have gifts and talents that he has put inside of you. They were there when you were a child. And all through the different decades of your life, they are growing, they are refining, he is shaping them. Isn't that a beautiful thing? And then it says this, to these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. Hold that thought. Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. You see, it says here, God gave the knowledge. And later in the book of Daniel, you'll hear Daniel talking as he's interpreting these dreams. He gives glory to who? Was it to himself? No. For it's God who can interpret dreams. It's not me. I am just the instrument of God. He gives glory to God in every instance. He knows where his gift comes from. You see, that gift that God has put in for you is not just for you. It is for you to shape the world around you. That is how God has created you. You know, I sometimes think of God's masterpiece of creation and everything is like a huge jigsaw puzzle. Remember, I talked about that in our very first sermon, Dissolving the Divide. And that jigsaw puzzle has the image of Christ on it. It's pointing towards New Jerusalem, a new heaven. That jigsaw puzzle, that shape, that image, in a whole pack of jigsaws, pieces, there is only one of that kind, correct? The puzzle doesn't come together unless all the parts of the puzzle fit together. Have you ever done it? Like get a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle set, get 999 and then you can't find the last piece? That piece is you. You are a piece of that puzzle. You are a part of God's creation, stamped with the image of the Creator. You are the handiwork of God, called for great things. Every single one of us, it doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, what circumstances you have been, every single person has been created by God and has a call of God on their lives. Correct? Then we go into the book of Daniel, starts as this young man, teenager, right? And he's chosen with his friends. He's trained, it says he was trained there for 3 years. Then the first part is about how he doesn't want to defy by eating the foods that is offered to the kings. He wants to eat, check this out, just fruit and vegetables. Has anyone been on the Daniel diet before? Just fruit and vegetables. No tea, just plain water. I tried it for a day. It was not a pretty sight. But Daniel chose to do it. And why did Daniel choose to do it? Because his heart was turned towards God. He knew that that was not what he was called for. He wanted more. He wanted to put God first. And you see, it talks about Daniel's intelligence as well, how he was able to reason with the chief of staff, to be able to say, you know what, give me 10 days. Feed us this, and if we look worse, then by all means, put it there. Isn't that just such a great story of like how we can take the practicality of the book of Daniel into our everyday life? You see, you could apply that into many different situations, correct? There is such wisdom. This is why we call it the living word. It literally jumps out. The book of Daniel has been around for, what, hundreds, thousands, my maths is clearly not very good, of years. And yet there is so much truth that you could take into your everyday life here. So the book of Daniel starts with him as a teenager and it goes and it journeys. And it literally is his, and this is because I'm a recruiter, it's like his resume. It's his portfolio of his career. It's like LinkedIn. Why? Because he starts, he's in training, he becomes a royal advisor, and then what happens? He starts to interpret dreams. And he uses the gift God gives him and he starts to move up in his career. In fact, so much so that God puts and places him as the leader of all the magicians, the sorcerers, the enchanters. He gets to lead them. I don't know if that's an indication, but that's to say that we are to be in places. Yeah? We are to be there in this world. Don't separate and say, no, I only stay here. We are called to be in the spaces that God has placed us, that where we are, that we can serve and love him, yeah, that we can bring him honor and glory. And it talks about how he has done that. And then, you know, Daniel served with four kings in the book of Daniel. The last king, Darius, Daniel was actually the prime minister. And so it follows his story. And if you think the book of Daniel is just for young men and women, it's not. You know, the story of Daniel when it's in the den with lions, most people in Sunday school can say, yeah, I know that story. Do you know how old Daniel was when he was in the den with the lions? Guess. 20s? No. No. 30s? Nope. Oh, no, but getting close. Nope. Higher. 80s. He was in his 80s when he was in the lion's den. Do we have any 80-year-olds in this house today? Auntie, can you imagine? No, 90, okay. Pass that. He's in the den with the lions at the age of 80. What a story. That he would stand in faith, holding and trusting that Waymaker would make a way for him, holding on to the promises of God. Okay, so this book of Daniel follows his career, and he uses his talents in all the spaces as he is moving through his career, correct? So God places him in different spaces, first as the royal advisor, and here he influences. He influences the young people he's with, the four, and he stands out and he says, no, I'm going to eat fruit and vegetables, do this, let's honor God this way. And as he does that, then the book follows through to talk about how he interprets the dreams. And as he's interpreting the dreams, he's giving honor and glory to God. He always says, it is not me that interprets the dream, it is my God. You see, Daniel is a change maker. He, because of being good at what he is, the gifting that God had given him, because he honored God and he loved God, that God would speak through him. Do you know that King Nebuchadnezzar, there was a dream that he had of the tree? Do you remember that? So King Nebuchadnezzar had this dream that there was this beautiful tree and it was all reaching to all the ends of the earth. And, you know, the tree was feeding all different life. There were birds, there was creatures living off that tree. And suddenly a voice cut the tree and it was a stump. Remember that? It was cast with iron and then the dew came over the tree. And then Daniel said, God was interpreting this dream. Can you imagine how fearful it could have been to rebuke the king openly? But he trusted in God. So he spoke the words of God to King Nebuchadnezzar. So King Nebuchadnezzar, a year after, he's standing there looking at his entire kingdom. And he's like, wow, look at me. Look what I've done. All glory and honor to me. I'm the king, the ruler of all of this. And then what does that happen? The dream comes to pass. Because what Daniel had foretold was what God was warning Nebuchadnezzar. And it was warning him about being rooted in the right things, in the glory of God. You see, we're all made in the image of God. King Nebuchadnezzar was gifted these things where he was to be the king of all of this kingdom, but he didn't have the right mechanisms because he wasn't giving the glory to God. He was giving the glory to himself. And so it says for several seasons that King Nebuchadnezzar lived in the wilderness where his hair was all mangled up. His fingernails were like claws of an eagle. He wandered the face of the earth, the king, as literally a homeless man. So much so, and this is how Daniel is a changemaker. God uses Daniel to be a changemaker, to speak life. That when King Nebuchadnezzar remembers, what does he do? He bows down and he gives all glory and honor to who? God, our Father. And he realizes, oh my goodness, all of these things give praise to the king of Daniel. to the God of Daniel, because it is that God who gives kingdoms. It is that God who bestows on us, and he can take us away. That King Nebuchadnezzar would know. If that's not only the time that Daniel does the change-making, he does it also with King Darius. Daniel was a change-maker in the spaces and the places that God had put in him, that he was faithful, that he did as God instructed. My question to you, and it's so easy for us, brothers and sisters, to think about this part. When I'm here, I'll do this. When I'm the prime minister, I'll say this. When I am this, I'll do that. But it's in the everyday. It's in the little. In the little by little, are you being faithful with the things that God has called you to do? You know, one of the reasons why Daniel has been so powerfully used by God is why? I say it's three things: prayer, praise, and the posture. You know, all through the book of Daniel, it says Daniel prayed. You know, when he hears that the king wants to kill them all, what does Daniel do? He prays. When the king says no one else is about to worship anyone else but me, the king, what does Daniel do? He gets on his knees and he prays. He prays to God. He seeks God first, always. He prays to God to interpret the dreams. God, give me the answers to the dreams that I may interpret them. He knows where his strength comes from. Later in the book of Daniel, as he has his own dreams. It's really interesting, actually. So he has his own dreams, but he can't interpret them. He prays. The next thing he does is he praises. It says this: praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He knows where his gift comes from. He knows that he is there, a piece in the puzzle. He's not the entire puzzle. He's only a piece in the puzzle. Do you know where your strength comes from? The gift that God has given you, are you using it for yourself? Or are you using it for the kingdom? And his posture. It says this later in the book of Daniel, and you'd think I'd be smart enough to like actually reference properly with the verses and the chapters, but no, I'm sorry, I did not. But I'll read you what it says in my notes. Then he continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them." You see, there was a point in Daniel's life where he humbled himself before God. He set in his mind to gain understanding. He set in his mind to be connected to the Creator. He set in his mind, "From this moment forth, I will live as yours, to be used as yours." You know, when I read that, I remembered of my own, just in closing, story. And I thought I'd share with you a little bit to encourage. And, you know, you might have heard bits of it before. But Micah 6, verse 8. Does anyone know that verse? "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." I remember the first time I visibly remember hearing that. I had arrived in Queensland, and, you know, I have gifts and talents. We all have gifts and talents. But for a long time, I was on my own ambition to conquer the world, with my gifts and talents to build my own career, to do this, to do that. And it was so obvious to everybody but me that that was what I was doing. And God has a way of tenderly loving us, does he not? Is he not so gracious to us? And I remember that moment when I was literally on my knees and I had heard this. And I remember saying, "Yes, God, I want your way, not my way, because your way is much better than whatever I could dream. This way is obviously not working, the strive, the trying to climb this corporate career ladder. I want to do what you want me to do, what you've created me to do, and I submit myself to you. You fast forward, and that was, what, 2017. How many years ago is that? Three. Not that long ago. But in that time, God has been so generous, taking me, showing me, loving me, correcting me. I feel sometimes, you know, like, ladies, when you go to get your foot done at the pedicure place, and then there's the big foot scrub thing, what's it called? Like a callus? And he's, yes, you know what I'm talking about. And then they scrub off all the dead skin from the back of your foot. I don't know why you guys don't ever need that. Maybe it's because we wear sandals. But it was like God was shaping all the dead skin cells that needed to be shaped. And he was so tender about doing it. And he was showing me that these gifts that I have were never just for me. And that I was to put away, and the strive that I had trying to create things myself for myself, it's not the way. But when you seek the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, all these things will be added to you. You know, when you're trying in your own strength to get that promotion, your own strength to grow this, your own strength to do this, it's hard work. But when you're trusting in God, when you put God first and you humbly seek his face, submit and see, and I tell you, it's the little by little. It's the small things he's looking for. So those who would have known, I had a health scare a couple of years ago, probably about 3 years, and I wasn't able to work. But I was able to have a free coffee. Anybody buy me a free coffee? I'm there. So I had a coffee with a young girl. She was in university, and she was coming out of university, and she needed some help in terms of finding jobs, right? And I was able to do that because that's what I do for a living, yeah? It's the shaping process that God has taken me through. And so as I was connecting with this young girl, more young people came through, and there was a small group of six of us young people who were looking for work, and then I was helping them. And as we were unpacking that journey, what we discovered was that so many people were making these career decisions about their life, but they didn't actually know their giftings. They didn't know the gifts that they had, the talents that they had. And you see, God is such a good God. He was giving me Ephesians 2 verse 10 way before I knew it was Ephesians 2 verse 10. And so we started to unpack that, and we created this thing called Purpose, which was a tool to go into high schools and to work with young people on their gifting, understanding their gifting. And then the next part was understanding the journey, the highs and lows of life. And then the last part was created for good. Like, how do you take that moving forward? And I tell you what, God is such a good God, because we think of things in human terms, but God is here. And sometimes, and I loved it in the song of a Waymaker, when we don't feel it, when we don't know it in those moments, what is God doing? Colossians 1, he's holding us in those moments. He's suspending us in those moments. God is such a good, good God, that he would love us in our pain, that he would love us. And tomorrow, we are going to high school. We've got Annie that's going to be facilitating one of the workshops. We've got Wellna, wherever she is, I think in Sunday school. She'll be facilitating on Tuesday. You know what the good thing is? It is about the unity of the body of Christ. We have people from different churches, different denominations. We're going to a Catholic school. And what we're doing is we are walking with them through Ephesians 2 verse 10. The goodness of God, when you submit your wanting and doing and building for God, God does amazing things. You know, we're trusting in him that he's going to make a way, that he's going to be able to speak to the lives of the 180 kids that we've got over the next 48 hours, or whenever 48 hours starts. My math is really not very good at all, is it, Mum? I blame you. You see, we have all been created by the Creator. We all have the image of Christ on us, and we're all a piece of the puzzle. Your puzzle piece will be different from someone else's puzzle piece. but how you find all the other pieces of the puzzle, it starts with the very small things, being faithful in the very small things. You don't need to look for the very end and you know, when I'm this, then I can do that. It starts with right here, right now. Who's the closest person that you can love? Who's the closest person that you can serve with the gifting that you have? If you are called and you are blessed of being a great cook, then cook. If you are called and you are blessed to be an encourager, you know the type of person that you are. Every time your friends have a problem, they call you first. Jerome, if you are called, what's your gifting, my friend? Ah! You have a call of leadership on your life. You do. You see things so clearly, so strategically, in a way that people can't see it, but you see it. It's just a clear path for you, and you bring it together. You see, every single person has a call. When you use that call to serve others, to love others, and you allow God to shape you through it, He will do great things. We're not here for ourselves. What is man's chief end? It's to glorify God. How are we glorifying God? It's by the way we live our lives. It's by understanding that we are His creation, that we are His handiwork, and the time that we're here on earth is to use that. Correct? He is such a good God. Brothers and sisters, I encourage you, wherever you may be in the journey, you know, in those moments where it might be really tough and you're struggling, know that He is holding you. You were created by Him and for Him, and He is holding you. That we, as Christians, the early adopters, those people, radical people standing in line to get the phones, that we would go and shine wherever He has placed us, in the schools, in the workplaces, in our families, that people would smell the aroma of Jesus permeating from you, that we were created for this and that we were prepared in advance for this. You know, there are moments of your life that you're sitting there going, this is just, it's unspeakable, the pain that I'm in. I don't know what to do with it. But I tell you what, that pain is a blessing to other people. You can use that pain. I have used my pain to love and serve, and God brings such healing and wholeness in that. Such healing and wholeness in that moment. And that's part of the shaping process. It's 11:30. Time's up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You. I thank You for every single one of us. The handiwork of You, stamped with the image of You, created by the Creator. All parts of this huge jigsaw puzzle, bigger than the mind can comprehend, that spans all time. That as these jigsaw puzzles, we are shaped uniquely by You, for You, that You would use us. I thank You for the gifts that You've given us. I thank You for the journey that You're taking us on. And we trust in You. I pray that You would bless them, that they would be blessings to others, that they would rise, they would in favor, and that they would be able to change the temperature of the rooms and the spaces and the places that You've placed them in. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Wow. What a message.
We are being shaped. purpose. And when God shaped us, it's always a good shape, never out of shape, for His purpose. Be encouraged that when He calls you, He will empower you and He will shape you for His glory, and He will give you the grace and the strength. This Saturday, we are bringing our high schooler to go to the city. They are going to go to the city. Where is Wilna? We have make a pack of things for the homeless in the city with a Christian message of hope. And we are going to bring to our high schooler to the city to give to the homeless. It's a good way to shape our young people, our children, our youth, to make them realize that there are people out there who are in more dire strait situation than us. We are a blessed people. Why don't we stand up?